I'm John.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And this is Digital Divination on the No Direction Network.
All right, we are back for episode 131 of Digital Divination.
I am Ron Lundeen. I am an employee of Wizards of the Coast, and the opinions I express here are mine and not theirs.
I'm Jason Keeley, and I have a dog update, if anybody is interested.
I want to hear your dog update.
Oh, yes.
So we're fostering a dog named Wally. He only had one eye. He is a pit bull, basically. Real sweetheart, about like 7 years old or something like that. He got adopted on Wednesday, which was last Wednesday from when we're recording this.
Wow.
It was bittersweet and lovely. A lovely family took him home. His name is Frankie now, and he's loving it. The very next day, I got a phone call from the shelter saying that the first dog that we had fostered, Coco, had gotten returned.
I mean, that's a shame.
It's a shame, but the timing is so wild. We rushed at the end of the day. We rushed over to the shelter. We got her back. She's here with us now. It was kind of like a video you would see. She didn't recognize us right away, and then she gave Paula a sniff, and she went nuts. She gave me a sniff. She was going nuts and crazy and happy, tail wagging, going wiggling all over the place.
Oh, that's so cool.
She's chilling out again. She's getting used to the place. We're used to the smells and the walks and all our schedule and stuff like that. So hopefully someone will come and maybe adopt her at some point, but we're also like feeling a little bit like, well, she came back to us. Maybe we can't help other dogs. Maybe it's meant to be, but also, you know, we can't help other dogs if we do that. So we're at a crossroads here, but we're going to give it at least a couple more weeks before we make a big decision.
Wow. Well, how lucky for Coco to have somebody who is immediately, who really, you know, who is a great fit to immediately come back to live with. So
it's just like she didn't have to spend any extra time in the shelter, just like sort of that afternoon.
And, right. You know, right.
It was good. It was good for her because she does not like the shelter.
Wow.
I mean, who would?
Well, I have an update. I have a new background.
Ooh. Yeah. You're back. You're back. You got your bookshelves back behind you.
Got my bookshelves back, and I got Mando back. He's back together and keeping an eye out. He's right in front of a window, and my wife said, let's put him in front of the window so all the neighbors get freaked out when they see it. You know,
they think there's a guy standing in your house.
Yeah, just standing there. So, that's not
your office you were in before, for longtime viewers who are comparing our backgrounds, I guess.
It is. I flipped it around.
It's on the other. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I used to face that wall, and I flipped it around so I have more space, and I'm up against the wall closest to the family room we were gaming before. And so I have more room so I can actually put Mando, and you can actually see him.
Okay.
So I've strategically placed all this.
We're going to need detailed architectural plans of your house in the show notes so that everyone can kind of tell.
Okay, I'll do that.
Switch things around.
Yeah. I have a line drawing. But we're going to be busy this weekend.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Scattering to the winds. Or
well, Jason's not going to scatter.
Scattered from the winds.
We're going to, he's going to receive a scattered person. convention season starts.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much it's happening. So, it's wild. It's March. It's only March. Why is it starting so soon?
Because you have March, April, May, June, July, August. You got all those months.
That's
you have
most
all
of the year.
It is not most of the year.
It's so much of the year.
It is a lot of the year, yes. I myself found out that I'm quite suddenly going to GaryCon, which will be a lot of fun. I lived in Chicago for many, many years, and I attended several of the conventions that are out there. They're all over, you know, Gamehole Con and some of the other ones that are, obviously when Gen Con was in Milwaukee, I was up there. But I'd never actually made it to GaryCon. And so at the last minute, I'm being sent to cover for somebody else to run some events, which I'm not quite prepped for, but I don't leave till the day after tomorrow. So I've got a little bit of time.
Oh, that's
how much do you have to prep? Like just one 4-hour session or like a couple of
them? It's actually kind of cool the way this was set up. Because I'm stepping in for somebody else, I'm not making the decisions about what's being run, how it was described in the event. Okay. What I'm doing is filling that in. And it's one location, but it's one of three separate enemies. And whoever the main boss is kind of sets the tenor for the rest of the kind of the dungeon and the monsters that are in it. They're all the same monsters. It's the same dungeon. But is it like a tricksy, sneaky one, or is it like, you know, they're out to just murder you kind of thing? Depends on it. So I'm going to run the same thing three times with three different enemies. So
okay,
each time it'll be a little bit different. Three different hags.
Are you going to roll a die to decide, or are they set as a set order?
You know, to be honest, I don't know. I thought about that, and I think that it's sort of good, you know, sort of game mastering etiquette to ask your table ahead of time, hey, what kind of game do you want to do? The same thing you do with kind of a lot of convention games. You'll do something that's sort of like a quick session zero almost. You'd be like, hey, are there any themes that you'd like to make sure we avoid? And, you know, here are some, you know, introduce safety tools or whatever. But one of the things like that is, you know, what kind of adventure do you want? Now, people who are sitting down at a convention table tend to be a little more forgiving than somebody who's settling into a 12 or 18 month campaign. But they still, to the extent you got, well, this can go a couple of different ways. I remember one of the best DMs that I had that I ran into at a convention said, hey, you know, I'm great at this game. I know some of you might be great at this game, but just the general attitude that I'm going to run this adventure, would you like it to be, you know, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, Captain America, or Hulk Smash? Because I can do any of those that you prefer.
I like that. Yeah.
But the issue with asking like that is because if a lot of people have come and they're strangers to each other, they might have different ideas, right? What happens if somebody is like, oh, Hulk Smash, I know this game great. And somebody else is like, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, please. This is my second time playing this game ever. So, you know, how do you get people on the same page? Might be something that's a little harder to do in the confines of a 4-hour con slot than it would be in a session zero where you can have a little more robust conversation among some of the people. But anyway, that was an exceptionally long-winded answer to your question, Jason.
I mean, if you're going to ask the people too, like, are you going to end up running the same one twice? Like, does it matter? Like, you're not set with a mandate. It is, you have to run each one once.
Right? I'm not stuck with that mandate.
Okay, cool.
I don't think I'm stuck with them. I mean, I'll find out if I have. I can just ask tomorrow. Sure. I did have one of my, as far as running the same thing over and over, I did have an adventure that I wrote premiered at Gen Con many years ago, and I offered to run it, I think, 7 times, maybe 9 times, but a lot. I just ran the same thing over and over. And I remember by like the 6th or 7th time I was running it, I didn't even have to take the adventure out of my bag in order to like remember what the maps look like and what the, you know, the room descriptions were and what the monster's abilities were. I ended up having to pull it out because I wasn't clear what the DC of this particular trap was, and it mattered based on the person's role, whether it was like 16 or 17 or something like that. So I actually had to pull the adventure out of my bag to look, but I almost got all the way through after running it over and over and over looking at it at all.
I'm having a bit of deja vu because I feel like we've talked about con adventures before, about the difference between like, oh, if you have a game and you want, you know, every year have to prepare something different, is exhausting. But if you have the same adventure and you can just run it off the top of your head, I think we've talked about this. And
I think last con season we did.
I might have told the same story before, which means all of our regulars are going to be like, oh, I know that. Yeah, that's get some new material.
Anyway, boo.
I will. At GaryCon, I'll get some new material just this weekend.
Yeah, getting some hags. Yeah.
Well, Ron is going to GaryCon, but he was going to Game Store with myself and our friend Mark, but he has to bag out on that. So Mark and I are going down to Portland on Friday, and we're hoping to make a stop either Friday around midday to see our friend Jason, or maybe Sunday on the way back in the afternoon.
All right. We'll talk about it.
Okay. You don't have to come in now. Yeah.
No, okay. Yeah, exactly. Either one should be fine with me. We can get some lunch or something.
Yeah. No, I think that'd be great. So I'm going down there to play a bunch of games. I'm going to run a couple of scenarios, two bounties that I happen to have written for Starfinder. I always, when I go someplace, I like to run something I've done. And the bounty's an easy one because new players come in, they get a chance to get a feel for the game. And I've run it like a million times. So it's pretty good. And it's relatively short. It's an hour, hour and a half to run it. And then I'm going to play a bunch of Pathfinder too, I think.
Nice.
Oh, so sweet. I have a kineticist. I'm trying to level up. So.
Oh, okay. what we're talking about? Single gate, double gate? What element?
Single gate fire. I mean, pretty much okay. Standard.
You don't have to say that like you're embarrassed by it. That's a perfectly valid way to be playing a kineticist.
Exactly. I know. But when we were doing Outlaws of Alkenstar, I did the dual gate, wood and fire, and I thought that was really cool. But the wood part was basically he was Gambit. He was throwing playing cards, and that was his thing. So I really like that. But yeah, I'm hoping the last game I played with him was Luis Loza actually ran it at a local convention that we had here. Mm-hmm. So
cool. I'm not going anywhere. Maybe
this weekend.
Until this weekend. I'm not going to go to any cons until like the big one, probably. But before that, PaizoCon. I'm sure there's stuff in between. I'm sure. I don't know what's in between. But the big one for me is going to be PaizoCon. You're going to hear some good announcements and some exciting, fun stuff.
Yes. To come. Yes.
And maybe you'll see me be on a panel or two.
Yeah. Yeah. Or hear you. Do they
hear
do,
me? Yes.
I will do video. For those?
I think, okay. Yeah.
I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure I'll do video, and I'll probably have the usual, AMA thread on the Discord.
Yeah. And that's I think between now and PaizoCon is NorwestCon, which I'm going to. I enjoyed that quite a bit last year.
I'm going there as well.
Oh yeah.
Where is that?
It's at the same place as the old PaizoCon, I think, the DoubleTree.
Oh, the DoubleTree.
So I know that. I get a cookie when I come in. That's more of a author's convention, like a science fiction writing convention, writing convention. But they had a very sort of robust gaming kind of track where they had a lot of gaming panels and stuff that sort of waned a few years ago, I understand. And now it's kind of resurging. And so I'm back again as a guest, and I think that'll be a lot of fun. I'm on quite a lot of panels, including a lot of the sort of, I don't want to say standard panels because they're exciting kind of wherever you go, but they're the things like, how do you get started in the game industry or, what is the actual day in the life of a worker in the industry like, right? There are a lot of people who are very curious about what it is that we do on a day-to-day basis. I was boring somebody just the other day by mentioning that I just had a whole day of reviewing spreadsheets, right? That was
the old spreadsheets.
The good old playtest results, right? That's spreadsheet them all out and start crunching the data.
Lovely.
Nice.
But that could be any industry you're in could have spreadsheet data crunching.
Sure.
Yeah. NorwestCon's a good regional convention, I think. It's not just a Washington thing. It's in Washington State, but it's actually when I've gone, I've met people who've come from kind of all over the western side of the states. Actually, some people from even further out too, depending on who the guest of honor is. So,
At NorwestCon, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's normally the case. There is a global convention called WorldCon that travels.
Yes.
And WorldCon is in Seattle this year. And even at last year's NorwestCon, I talked to people who were saying, I'm going to skip NorwestCon next year because I'm going to go to WorldCon instead. They only get that opportunity so many times. I can appreciate
that. And
that's
a big science fiction convention.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. So, and it's actually displaced Dragonflight, which is a local con that was at the same weekend. That has moved because WorldCon is going to suck up everybody's
gonna be so
will
big.
To go to convention. So,
I don't have anything other than other than sort of my own anecdotal impressions for this, but I think that when it comes to these writing conventions, science fiction ones tend to be bigger than fantasy ones. And I think maybe there's a sort of more of a Starfinder kind of inroad into a science fiction convention that is sort of very kind of very natural there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's always weird to talk about the difference between Starfinder and Pathfinder. Fantasy kind of has a channel that it kind of follows, whereas as science fiction can be any, like can be close to modern day, but far future, post-apocalyptic, time travel, space like Star Trek, space like Star Wars, you know, like et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, there's just a broader genre, I would say, in just in general. But speaking of Starfinder, I'm looking at the NorwestCon page. The spotlight publisher for NorwestCon is Paizo.
Who is the spotlight publisher for NorwestCon, Jason?
And it's Paizo, and Jenny and Mike Kimmel are going to be there.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. So if you're into Starfinder and in this area, you should go talk.
Yeah, there are a lot of good people that on the Starfinder team. They're going to be doing stuff there. I think that's going to be it's going to be a great place to sort of go ask questions. I found that the NorwestCon panels tend to be so like intimate enough that if you had questions, you'd be able to ask them. Or if you wanted to stop in and say hi to somebody afterward, it's easy enough to be able to do. It's bigger than PaizoCon when PaizoCons are in sort of a physical location, but still very, it has that same kind of approachable feel, which I really like. Right, because there's some people, some other panelists that I was really excited to meet and talk to. And so I had to like hurry up and like run around the table and become a fan, right? In order to try to, and try to you know, meet these people. And it was, but I was able to do so. So
very cool. Awesome. Have either of you gone to Origins? That's a June one, usually. It's a big convention.
I mean, maybe 2 decades ago I went to Origins. Yeah. I think that it's been just because it was one of the Midwest cons that was in the area, but I don't think I've been, I haven't been in Origins in a really long time.
Yeah. It's June 18th through the 22nd. For me, I like Origins. I haven't been for like 5 years since prior to the pandemic, but for me, it's like halfway between like NorwestCon and Gen Con, right? It's got a lot of the big vendors that go to Gen Con go there, but it doesn't have the sheer, you know, the massive scope of panels and, you know, space it takes up for vendors and gaming tables and stuff. But Paizo in the past has had a pretty good presence there. Not quite as big as what they have in the Sagamore Gen Con, but pretty good size and maybe even similar to what they had at PaizoCon in the past in terms of tables and stuff. So that's kind of a fun in-between one if,
well, that's really neat.
If you don't want to go to the massive Gen Con.
Yeah, I always just sort of heard about Origins. Never been.
Yeah. I liked it a lot. It's actually one of my favorite ones. Origins and then SkullCon. Have either of you been to SkullCon?
Yeah, I haven't been to SkullCon, but I've heard good things about it. There are two conventions that a lot of people that I know go to and really like that I haven't gotten to, and that's SkullCon and Big Bad Con.
Oh, no.
Big Bad Con is not happening this year, I think, is what I heard.
Bad news.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know
for sure. Wait, is it not happening this year or not happening ever?
I think
that's up in
the air. Is
it like that Shucks convention that we went to, Jason, that is now just defunct?
I don't know. How many of those did they have? Like, I feel like they didn't have very many.
I mean, they're probably not.
Yeah. I mean, we went in 2019, so I could see why.
Why maybe the next couple of years they didn't do him?
I think a lot of the non-major conventions have suffered because of the, you know, the downtime of the pandemic, and then in general Americans are actually slower now getting back into flying and traveling. I mean, it's just a general trend for the country. So any convention that you traveled to, you know, flying or had to go some distance, it's probably struggling a little bit. Even Gen Con is now just getting back up to where it was pre-pandemic.
And getting back up to the completely sold out that it used to be.
Yes. Yeah. The line wrapping all the way around the building outside to get your tickets and stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited to be going to Gen Con kind of as a fan this year. Yeah. I think that there's, I mean, like with Gary Kahn, who knows what's going to happen at the last minute. It may suddenly be, okay, you got to work. But I don't think, like last year when I was at Gen Con, there was a upcoming release I was working on that we were doing some, you know, some testing for. It wasn't a big release at Gen Con that I was there for, but I was there for work. And I don't see from our schedule that there's something that I personally am going to be on where they're going to send me to Gen Con. So when registration opened up and housing opened up, I kind of jumped right on it to be personal, request my vacation for then. And
very good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jason.
Yes.
You're going to Gen Con.
So I hope so. You never know, but I hope so. Yes. I have a big book release to stand next to my Comrades in Arms with the release of Starfinder Second Edition. It's a big book called Battle Cry.
Yes, Battle Cry.
Yep.
Which I can say I wrote on it because I noticed my name is listed as one of the authors.
Yes. Oh, the page is up. Yes.
Yes.
The page is up. Yes. I should tell people that they can at least say they wrote on it.
That they can now look at this thing you were excited about.
Well, yeah. I mean, all the authors that I have, you know, have been, you know, the freelance authors, I can tell them at least they can say that if the page is up. It's something I always have trouble keeping track of myself when it's okay to say something and when you can say you've written and all that stuff. Not yet, but there's stuff in there. It's the big war book. It's got the two new classes from last year's, you know, playtests and a bunch of other stuff. A new ancestry, just a kind of a brand new ancestry. This is not a Pathfinder podcast, so I won't talk about it too much. But I'm very excited about these big blue boys.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, except you could maybe play them in Starfinder Second Edition because the game systems are a lot closer, right? You could be a guardian or whatever if you wanted to.
I mean, yeah, you could bring that stuff into the Starfinder Second Edition, the classes and the ancestry and whatever else that's going to be in the book. Sure, why not? You can't. I can't stop you if you want to do it that way.
No, I'm excited for that book for reasons, but also for Starfinder Second Edition coming out, and I'm running. Mm-hmm. Seven tables there.
Ooh.
One of them is the Starfinder Specials coming out. And then I'm running six tables of the introductory scenario that they have. Like the, you know, for your brand new Starfinder is going out there and doing that. So I will become very well versed at that one scenario. So
I bet.
Well, with introductory people, one of the things that I've seen a couple of times now that I've run something for new people, introducing them to the three action economy, is that first people are very excited that they get to do a lot of things. They're like, whoa, I get to do three different things. I'm like, yes, you absolutely do. And then there's a little bit of a dip back down when they realize that moving is one of those three things. It counts as one of the things.
No matter how far you go, you spend
exactly.
one action to move. Yeah.
Or they get into it so fast, right?
Yeah, it's so easy to sort of pick it up. But, you know, and now if you're a spellcaster, grab a spell. Oh, this spell costs you two actions.
I know. So many things are two actions.
Yeah, that's a reason why you make the three action economy. So you can do these fun things that really eat up all your actions, but do a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you can have special things that reduce the cost to one action, right?
Sometimes.
Yes,
or the kind of effects like spells that's one, two, or three. You pick. You've got the freedom to pick.
Yes.
I think it's not a mistake that some of the very, you know, first rank spells are some of the ones that are castable at one, two, or three actions. They want to get people sort of early on used to the fact that you've got a lot of flexibility with this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of other cool stuff coming out with second edition. I mean, scalable cantrips is coming right in, right? Didn't have that in standard Starfinder. Yeah. You're going to have equipment that basically you can scale, right? You know, by adding fusions. I don't know, not fusions. But I think it's, But
it's not going to be the improvements. They're not infusions.
Yeah,
a tactical version versus an advanced version versus the,
So, I mean, so they've taken a lot of the cool stuff from Pathfinder in the remastered and put it in a Starfinder Second Edition. So,
stuff that was in Starfinder First Edition. You may remember, John, that I badgered you into allowing me to use scalable cantrips in Horizons of the Vast, which was still First Edition, because it was the Black Magic had those rules.
Right. No, I I'm just glad it's all baked in.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Indeed. So that's
and just kind of cool. There'll be other surprises.
Other cool things, yes.
I'm other sure. cool things here, yeah, at the show for Starfinder, for Pathfinder.
Well, this is one of the things that's really fun about conventions, sort of all sizes. If a company has a presence at one of these, then it's often the place where you can be one of the first people to hear about new things that are coming out. Mm-hmm. You know, here's all the new stuff that's coming out for, PaizoCon is going to have announcements, I'm sure. Gen Con is going to have releases and announcements, I'm sure. So it's kind of an exciting place to be because you get to hear sort of what the newest thing is. One of the things I've noticed is that Paizo has a tendency to announce things with a little bit less warning, right? Instead of here's a thing that's going to come out in 9 months, it's like here's a thing that's going to come out in 5 months. That I like that as a fan because I don't have to get distracted by other stuff. Like the thing that I'm excited to get, I can keep my excitement up until it comes out and we're almost immediately sort of hearing more things about it. I feel like that's a lot of fun. So
there's the logistics of that. And I'm sure you know this, Ron, the logistics of the when things need to be announced for the purposes of like retail and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I would say you want to go too far out because people, but also, you know, Paizo makes so much stuff that you can't just be, you know, I mean, you want to give everything a little bit of time to breathe, but then there's the reality of like, we have to tell, I don't know, like Amazon or whatever, what a book is. And that kind of acts as a little bit of an announcement sometimes. So you have to like plan to announce it for real also while it's being sort of like dropped and available for pre-order on another website or something. So it's always tricky. But hopefully we get that timing right so that people, we don't, you know, we might say something, but maybe don't talk about it for a little bit and then, you know, really kind of talk it up.
Yeah. You know, I think you're right. I think that there's some discussions about playtest coming down the line for the Technomancer and the Mechanic. Mm-hmm. And as I, that runs the same kind of risk, right? Like, oh man, I'm really excited for those things, but there's so many products just in between now and whenever that's going to come out with, including the game itself, like the core rulebook itself.
Right. The core rulebook game. And we're having so many playtests. Like almost constantly playtesting now at this point with between Pathfinder and Starfinder could have releasing new classes, kind of just trading back and forth playtest stuff. So it's like, you know, Commander and Guardian, and then we had the, you know, Starfinder playtest, and then we got the ones that just sort of dropped. Did they just drop? No, I've already forgotten.
The playtest that just dropped?
No, I don't know anymore. Yes. Okay. It must have. I don't remember anything anymore. What's what? Hold on.
He doesn't want to misspeak and say something.
I don't want to misspeak. You remember,
you don't want to make a mistake. And
yes. Let me just say,
have to edit stuff.
I'm checking something right now. Yeah. In December, the Impossible Playtest with the Necromancer and the Runesmith. Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Okay. That was that, and then we're, you know, moving into eventually talking about the Mechanic and the Technomancer. And then what's after that? Who knows? Will it be more Pathfinder stuff? Will it be more Starfinder? You know, like we're going to be constantly. We got to like though. Hopefully, there'll be some breathing room for people to just sort of like, hey, yeah. Enough. You know, playtest, you guys. We can, yeah.
And then will you all get to take a break after Gen Con and all these releases?
Yes, that's a big thing.
Okay.
We get to have a little bit of time. Although it's like obviously always working on the next thing, but the winter months are always a little quieter.
Yeah, it's like you're like a, you know, some sort of musician who's gone from sort of the concert schedule to going back into the studio to make the next cool things.
Right,
to play at the next year's concert schedule.
Big concert. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So it feels very much like that.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Very cool. And then at the tail end of all that, end of September is SkullCon for anybody who's interested. End of September, sometimes early October in Minnesota.
That is
the weather's not Minnesota too cold yet.
Right. Yeah.
That is also good. Do you have the dates for SkullCon announced their dates already?
Oh, I'm sure they are. Let's see.
This and I'll make sure that everybody realizes how little research we actually do ahead of time for this stuff. How off the cuff you get us, because, you know, you'd think that had been a question that would have come up if we'd done much preparation for this this podcast here.
I don't know. I'm not seeing it.
Alrighty. Well, everybody, we're keeping an eye out for SkullCon this year.
September 26th to 28th.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah. So that last weekend in September, which for me is a little tough because I usually start teaching that week. Mm. So,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But not a lot happens during the first week of school. So usually it's like, okay, I'll teach Tuesday, Thursday. Usually it's intro stuff and some basic things. And then Thursday after class, hit the airport. Go to SkullCon.
Or the first Thursday is going to be a remote class and you're taking it like from the convention floor in the background. There's people in cosplay walking around behind you. And
it's really loud though. The very first interviews I ever did for No Direction, the very first one was Thursday at SkullCon. And even after things had kind of broken up, it was still super loud there. So
I believe that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good sized convention. All right. Well, I think that's a lot of conventioning to look forward to this year, this summer. So,
and we'll be able to talk about it for the whole rest of the year as we keep getting together for these.
So many conventions.
So
we should just have one convention for everything, for pop culture, for video games.
Playing
games. We should just have one and just get it over with.
That would be so massive, though.
Yeah, just get a big. I don't know. A stadium.
Rent out this, state of Missouri.
And exactly. Something small.
You know, something something central, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I used to go to Emerald City Comic Con and Penny PAX when it was just one thing in Seattle Convention Center. And it was 80,000 people.
Yeah. I had a lot of friends that went to Emerald City Comic Con just this last weekend or weekend before.
Yeah.
I want to say, but recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you talk about San Diego Comic Con, that's hundreds of thousands of people spread out. That thing's just miles long, the convention center.
Yeah.
So, exactly. Yeah. You can't fit everybody in one space.
I've never been to that. I do. One of the things I want to get to, because I've got a lot of friends back in Salt Lake City, is they had what they called the Salt Lake City Comic Con for the longest time, which is enormous, but they got San Diego Comic Con told them they couldn't use the name. And so now they are Fan X. That's the name of that conference.
Oh, that's funny.
Or that big convention in Salt Lake City. And I can pretty reliably irritate my Salt Lake City friends by calling it Fanks, because it looks like Fan X, right? Like, are you going to Fanks this year? Ron.
Hold on. I've got a solution. You can't have everyone go into one place, right? What we do is we just sort of distribute the convention to sort of for wherever you are, right? So then everyone has a convention in their own house and can connect with other people virtually in one big – it all happens at one time. But that weekend, you're just sort of talking to people through online – things, and you don't have to leave your house. It's cheaper, you know. You don't have to for the food too. You know, you don't have to worry about getting sick.
Yeah,
getting the concrete. I think I think this is the perfect solution.
I think if you did this and you weren't interested in anything of the pop culture except maybe what Paizo had going on, and that was the only thing that you wanted to attend on this virtual weekend you're describing, I think you just invented PaizoCon.
I mean, sure. Yes, I mean, yeah, but. There's not also Marvel and Disney talking about their movies at the exact same time.
I guess that's true.
Or the week. You know, because we take a whole week. Everybody in the country has the whole week off.
That's right. It is the fan week.
It's the week of, because everyone loves all of these things. Because we do it every convention. It's a baseball card convention. It's a gun convention. Sure. Why not? It's sports conventions. Okay. It's just everything. Why not? It's just every convention. Just rolled into one giant burrito, and we have the week off.
That nobody can attend because everybody will be working the convention for whatever industry they happen to be in. Ooh, I don't know.
It's
I don't want to shoot down your dream, Jason. I think that.
Well, I'll figure this out.
All right, you whiteboard that a little bit. Get back to us. Yeah.
Well, I have one last bit of
actual trivia, news,
I guess. No, it's not really news. So I went to one of the first San Diego Comic-Cons.
Mm-hmm.
50, and it was in the El Cortez Hotel, which was this older, rundown hotel in San Diego. And it was really just a Comic-Con then. There were vendors who brought long boxes of comics.
And you just look through them.
And traded comics, yeah. You know, and it's like, wow. I'm thinking, there's this article that Comic-Con is like at, you know, like 50-year anniversary, and they're talking about what it was like back in the day. And it's like, wow. I remember taking the bus to Comic-Con back in the day at the El Cortez. Like,
you're going to show up in like some historical documentary where they've got like a picture of the old San Diego Comic-Con, how it used to be. And somebody be like, who's this in the background? That's John Godek in the background of this picture.
And I have comics.
Looking through a long box of comics.
I bought from that. So, okay. All right. Well, that's my trivia. Well, cool. another segue into another area, but I think convention season is going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah. Oh, I'm nervous.
Oh, don't be. We'll be safe when we come see you. Okay. It'll be okay.
No, it's not about that. I'm just nervous.
Okay. All right. Wait, whoa. No, back up because we're friends here. Wait, what are you nervous about?
I get nervous. Cons. Working, if it, you know, you remember working Gen Con?
Yeah, I have. It's a lot of people and it's a lot going on. It's a lot to pay attention to. Yeah, I can see that.
I'm one of those weird extroverted introverts. Mm-hmm. I like hanging out with people. I like did a lot of theater and improv, and I like having an audience, but also I get nervous about it.
People coming up to you over and over and over is a little maybe like,
Yeah, I mean, I like, I'll talk to people, but also like, well, people don't want to talk to me.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
Now everyone's going to come talking to you after this.
I know. I'm just going to have to find me. Find me. I'll be somewhere.
Now it's a game.
In the booth.
Yeah. We'll have every show we do between now and Gen Con, we'll have one clue. About how you can piece all the puzzles together and find Jason Keeley at Gen Con. Yes.
Or somewhere. Maybe it isn't even Gen Con.
Maybe. Or somewhere else.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm John.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And this has been Digital Divination.